father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley with you again. Glad to be with you here. And just in my usual liturgical calendar update, we are through the Easter season and back settling into ordinary time, which, just as a reminder, doesn't mean boring time, right? It means that it is time that is ordered to God, and He has given us this time to live lives that are ordered to God and ordered to His glory and, quite frankly, our own happiness. So as we pursue after God in this beautiful time of the year here in Minnesota, we can also think and know that we are bringing glory to our Heavenly Father who loves us so very much. We've been through Pentecost, and I hope that you had a joyful Pentecost celebration. Did you wear red to Mass? That's the thing, you know, wearing red to Mass in honor of the Holy Spirit. And interestingly enough, I think I've shared here on the program before that as an employee at the Cathedral of St. Paul, I help out with some of the confirmations that go on there. And red is the default vestment color that is worn for confirmations because of Pentecost, because of the Holy Spirit. And as the Catechism tells us, it is very much, and actually the prayer that takes place just before the candidates for confirmation are confirmed, that our own confirmation is very much our own participation. It's like our own individual experience of Pentecost. And so if you have been confirmed, congratulations. Know that you are indeed sealed with that gift of the Holy Spirit, and be attentive to the Holy Spirit. Receive Him with gratitude, with thanksgiving, with consolation, and then cooperate with Him in the work that He wants to do in and through you into the world today. And if you have not been confirmed, putting on my RCIA director's hat just for a moment, please do pursue confirmation. Catechism tells us that any and every baptized Catholic should receive the sacrament of confirmation. Beautiful thing. So inquire about that with your parish priest, with your director of faith formation or religious education, and find out how you can go about that process. It's really not scary. It's not intimidating. And it's a wonderful, it's the best gift you can receive. It's the gift of God Himself giving His divine life to you and taking up residence within you, leading you, guiding you, and loving you all the way into His arms. So speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, we have another great thing coming up this coming weekend, or if you're listening on Saturday, it's just finished. If you're listening on Sunday, you have maybe missed the event itself, but you will still nonetheless rejoice in it. But we've got a wonderful thing coming up on Saturday morning. May 26th, it's the ordination of four young men to the priesthood, four transitional deacons to the priesthood. So we are excited that this program is actually going to be featuring all four of those young men, as well as Father Nicholas Fraley, who has been ordained a priest now for nearly a year. He's going to give a little reflection on what exactly that has been like, his first year in the priesthood. And so I am excited to get this show off and running. So let's pause now, as always, commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going into our first break, but when we come back, we're going to have Deacon Eric Ahmet and Deacon Colin Jones. We're going to hear more from them. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a Give First organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a Give First organization. Give them a call today.
Tear away the ties that bind you. Roll away the stone that hides you. Leave all sin and death behind you. See the Lord through eyes of faith.
And we are back at the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again at an exciting show. We've got four young men who are to be ordained to the priesthood. Again, if you're listening on Friday night, it is still happening, so you can still pray for these young men as in preparation in their final hours before ordination, as well as joining us at the Cathedral of St. Paul at 10 a.m. Saturday, May 26th. If you are listening on Saturday or Sunday, I'm afraid the event itself has passed, but you can still pray for these young men as they begin this life of service and a life of priesthood to Almighty God. So joining us now, we're going to take them two by two, I think. So we have Deacon Colin Jones with us, who's a transitional deacon, of course, just having completed his fourth year of theology at the Pontifical North American College in Rome, commonly known as the NAC. Yes, right. And something of note about him is he has worked as a pizza chef.
That's right. That's right.
And a waiter at Pizza Hut in Circle Pines. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, very good. We might explore that or maybe not. All right. And he loves baseball, goes to Target Field often, when he's in town. Right?
Exactly, yep.
And you keep an official scorecard as well.
Yep, always buy it right there at the door. Make sure you bring a fresh pencil and just sit down and enjoy the game.
You supply your own pencil.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy them there, but they're not like the mechanical ones, so you have to like bring your own sharpener and stuff like that in case something bad happens. So it's just better to kind of control all the variables on that one.
This guy comes prepared. Yeah. I'm praying for your upcoming sacristans already.
Yes,
all right.
That's right.
So, and also joining us is Deacon Eric Amott, who is a transitional deacon, of course. His own parish is St. Odelia in Shoreview, and his teaching parish is Immaculate Heart of Mary in Minnetonka. And he is a Tolkien, I was going to say fan, but maybe I should say freak. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean any disrespect by
fine.
That. Yes. You've read the Silmarillion four times, The Hobbit nine times, and you're currently on your ninth reading of Lord of the Rings. And you were just telling me before the show, where are you, Deacon?
The ring was just destroyed last night. So we're here at the end of all things, Sam.
All right. Well, I guess on the brink of ordination, that's probably somehow appropriate, right?
It definitely is. I was actually talking with one of my friends, and he's encouraging me to actually finish The Lord of the Rings before I'm ordained a priest. We'll see if we get there, because there's still another like 80 pages to go.
Yeah,
so right. We'll see if I can get there.
Well, as a transitional deacon, I'm sure you have plenty of time, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's all sorts of time this week, especially with school being done and everything else. There's all sorts of time.
Very good. Very good. All right. So on to a little bit more perhaps significant things. I want to ask you, first off, who is someone in your life who has had a significant impact on your vocation? Because this vocation, yes, while given to us by God, is oftentimes handed on through others. So, Deacon Colin, how about you? You want to give us a shot at that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to think about my vocation without thinking about my parents, obviously, and they've just done so much and just praying me through my whole life. And I'm the oldest of six kids, so just a really kind of big Catholic family. We were all homeschooled growing up, which is just another way that our faith was kind of central to our lives. And I guess in a particular way, just thinking about my parents, I remember my dad and how strong his prayer life was and how much prayer meant to him and how it was always the center of his day, the center of his week. He always had a 4 a.m. adoration hour at my home parish, St. Charles Borromeo. And so I never joined him for that one for various reasons. But I remember when he would come back, you know, kind of early in the morning, and I knew where my dad had been. You know, he had been praying before the Lord for that hour every week. And so just to know that, just to see my dad, you know, getting up early, going out to pray to the Lord before a day of work, I just can't even imagine how much grace that won for my family and even for me too, just leading me to my vocation, because, you know, Christ is the center of every vocation. And I realized it was the center of my dad's life and the life of my parents, the life of my family. So just slowly but surely, I think those many years of prayer that my dad offered up for me have borne a lot of fruit. So I'm very grateful to him.
Huge influence. Thank you, Deacon. How about you, Deacon Eric?
Yeah, the first person that comes to my mind for that would be Father Nels Jengdahl, actually. His first assignment, right when he was freshly ordained a priest, was my home parish, St. Odelia in Shoreview. And it was the first time I'd actually seen a young priest. It was right as the transitioning was happening. The Crozier Fathers used to be serving there at St. Odelia, but because their order was shrinking, they had to pull out of there. And so Father Nels Jengdahl was one of the first diocesan priests to come. And, you know, while the Croziers did great work, none of them were exactly young. So it was strange for me to see this 26-year-old priest, and he's a bigger nerd than I am. You know, we were talking about Tolkien before, and he's nerdy in Tolkien and Star Trek and Star Wars and just about anything else. So he was just a ton of fun for me to just really get to know and just to see this example of a joyful life in the priesthood was such a surprise for me. And it was also right at the time that I was just finishing my confirmation and just being confirmed. I was confirmed in the fall right after he came in that summer. And so I was, my faith was really starting to come alive at that time. I was starting to get involved in the parish more, in the youth group more. And he really noticed that. And he was the one who really planted the seed of the vocation, of my vocation. He was the first one who asked me if I'd ever thought about being a priest. At that time, I laughed at him and said no, but here I am a few days away from being ordained a priest.
Who's laughing now?
Exactly. Well, I assume there's going to be some laughter on Saturday, too, because now he's actually the one who's going to vest me as a priest.
Perfect.
So it's going to come full circle in that sense.
Very nice. Deacon Colin, who's vesting you?
I will be vested by a priest who was my first spiritual director ever. He was a spiritual director at St. John Vianney College Seminary when I was there, Father Sebastian Bakatu. He is from the Congo, and he wound up in Minnesota kind of through some various circumstances, I think because of having family here back in the 80s, and he was part of a religious community, but ended up incarnating into the Archdiocese, and just an amazing priest. And being an 18-year-old, college student, fresh into seminary, not really knowing what was going on, just kind of thinking like, well, seminary, give this a shot. He was just kind of there to take all of that unformed craziness and sort of directed to the Lord and show me where the Lord was working in my life. And so I had him for 3.5 years. And we've kept in touch since then too. He's come to Rome a couple of times and I've gotten to see him over there. And he's just an amazing man, amazing priest. So I'm looking forward to having him vest me.
Yeah, good man. I know him a bit from the rectory there at the cathedral.
Oh,
he
sure.
was living there for a while. Yeah. All right. So let's ask this question. When did you first start? I mean, Deacon Eric, you were getting at this a little bit, but when you first started, so Father Jengdahl's question to you, is that really the first inkling that maybe it might be, but where did it go from there? When did it actually become serious?
Yeah, so he asked me that question about my junior year of high school, and like I said, I laughed at him and said no at that time, but my prayer life was just starting to grow at that point, just learning how to start praying, just kneeling down at the end of my bed at nights, and just at those times when I would start to pray, ever since he asked that question, the thought would always keep coming back. What about priesthood? What about priesthood? And I had never planned on it before. My plan was to become a doctor, actually. But as high school went along and that thought kept coming back to my head, I got really annoyed by it. And so I started to I made a deal with God, during junior year of high school. I know it's a dangerous thing to make a deal with God because he usually gets his way out of it.
Usually.
And he did this time too, because my deal with God in high school was that, God, I don't really want to be a priest, but if you want me to be a priest, let me know and I'll do it.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was basically my deal with God. That's kind of where it all settled at. So junior year of high school, senior year of high school, I'll go by. No real indication of how he let me know. So I was all set to go up to the University of Minnesota Duluth. That's where I was going to go for undergrad and then come down to the U for med school and then go into the great medical world. But the summer before I started up in Duluth, I took a retreat up in northern Minnesota. And for one day of that retreat, we took a day trip out to Split Rock Lighthouse. It was right on the North Shore there, and that's my playground up there. Like, I absolutely love the North Shore, Boundary Waters, Voyagers. I just love it up there. But while we were at the park that day, it was basically a day of recollection within the retreat. So we had to be totally silent and totally alone for that whole day while we were at the park. So I end up taking a hike down the shore and just totally enjoying myself. But eventually I get to this spot where it's a cliff. I can't climb it safely without gear. I did later on, but that's beside the point. But I end up finding this spot right along the shore where the waves were just crashing perfectly around me. And I just gaze out on the lake and I was just struck by the beauty of it. And it actually wasn't particularly all that beautiful. It was kind of a cloudy day. It was pretty windy coming off the lake. But somehow I was just struck by the beauty of this creation. And so I started to pray, thanking God for the beauty of this creation that is right before me. And in the midst of this prayer, wouldn't you know it, thought of priesthood comes on again. And it was a lot more strongly, and it was a little bit differently than it was in the past. And so I decided to change my prayer from high school and just ask God outright, yeah. God, do you want me to be a priest? Mm-hmm. And immediately when I asked that question, I just felt this overwhelming presence completely surrounding me, completely filling me. And in the midst of this presence, I both felt and heard the quietest whisper come across my right ear, and the sound cut straight to the depth of my heart. And all the whisper said was yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I came back from that retreat, got in contact with Father Jengdahl, and he set me up with the vocations director. And it's, you know, I still spent my freshman year up in Duluth, but then transferred down to the seminary after that. And it's just been a journey with God ever since that call.
Amazing. Deacon Colin, how about you? Where did the first inkling start?
Yeah, well, I think I'd have to go back to the family, the home and the family, and just like the Catholic faith that was given to me by my parents and just sort of nurtured there at home. I mentioned too that I was homeschooled, and so it's kind of I think it's a very familiar story, especially having gotten to know other priests and seminarians throughout these last several years, that there's a very just strong connection between kind of that strong Catholic family, even with the idea of homeschooling and also the vocation to the priesthood. And I think for me, it was just that idea of praying about it as a kid. You know, my parents would, kind of pray for vocations all the time with us right there. And so it was kind of one of those things, even subconsciously, as those prayers were always happening, that thought was kind of there, you know. My dad would bring me to some of the Team Vienna events they used to have at the college seminary once a month. And so just that family life, that family environment, whether I knew it or not, was already kind of nurturing that vocation in me. Mm-hmm. And I guess the first kind of inkling that I remember having was being about 11 or 12. I was in my second or third year of being an altar boy, actually, at St. Charles Borromeo, which was also a great place to be. And great because like Deacon Eric said, just really good young priests who were there. So the priesthood was always something very normal, very relatable, very awesome, just for a kid who was growing up to see these guys coming through. You know, every two or three years we get a new young priest, and they were always just so wonderful. I think that inkling was there, and I remember, you know, people would ask me when I was, you know, kind of middle school years, junior high years, what I wanted to be when I grew up. And you know, not all the time, but sometimes the word priest would come out. You know, there were always, you know, the other things. It was, you know, baseball player or pilot, kind of the other answers too. But priest was there definitely as an option. And for me, high school was kind of a turbulent time in many ways. But the thing that kind of got me back actually was a friend of mine who invited me to go visit the seminary my senior year. So by this point, the seminary idea had sort of fallen by the wayside, so to speak. I wasn't really planning to go to seminary after high school. St. Thomas wasn't really on my radar. I was thinking, well, maybe I'll go be an engineer. I sort of was avoiding the question by this time, you know, because it seemed, priesthood seemed like something, you know, very scary again at that point. You know, it's kind of like this, you know, the sacrifices that involves. It was not something I wanted to really face going forward. And the idea of seminary at that point seemed a little bit foreign. But this guy invited me to come to the college seminary and visit. And I hadn't been there in probably 8 to 10 years by that point. But just to go there again and to be on that weekend, to spend that time before the Lord in adoration, to be with the guys at Mass, to walk across the campus to the cafeteria with them, to ask them questions, to talk, to realize that the seminary was not a place where, you know, you signed up and you were there, you were locked in for life, you know. Mm-hmm. But actually it was a place of discernment, and it was a place where these guys were going to pray and to ask the Lord, what did he want from them? And so that for me was huge. And that was just kind of the way the Lord kind of prodded me. The Lord kind of pushed me in the right direction, got me to join seminary. I remember coming back from that weekend in February and telling my parents, like, I think I want to do this. And then it became, you know, applying to the university, applying to the seminary, all the things that involved. But since then, it's just been a beautiful journey with the Lord and him kind of just telling me, yeah, you're in the right place.
So two significant things that I've already taken from our conversation already. Deacon Eric, you exemplified this, that we need to be asking our young men, have you ever thought about the priesthood? Mm-hmm. We need to plant those seeds, yeah? And then, Deacon Colin, what you were just saying, that, you know, applying for seminary, getting into the seminary, that's not the end-all be-all. That seminary is still a place of discernment, and it is a place. So it's not like you're signing on the dotted line the moment that you start applying for seminary, but there is, you need to trust the process, right? That the Holy Spirit works in and through the process. All right, one more question before we have to say goodbye to the two of you. I'm just curious, what person, whether they're living or passed away, might be most surprised about you getting ordained a priest? Deacon Colin.
So I mentioned those high school years, and one thing that I spent a lot of time doing in high school was I was in a garage band. So I played guitar with some friends of mine, and we were in Shoreview, all of us, and our band had many different names over the years, as bands often do. I think our last name was Us the Plums. That was our band name. And I told my buddy I would give them a shout out on the air. So there we go.
Nice. There you go.
So yeah, we were in a band, but it was great. Those guys are all doing really well right now, actually, and I'm very grateful for the friendships that have lasted. But I remember telling those guys, you know, kind of that senior year when the Lord was stirring in my heart, I remember telling them that, yeah, I was going to the seminary. And I think that shocked them a little bit. And it may have still continued
silence.
Continued to shock them for the next few years. But it's been really cool to see those relationships grow and see how the Lord has moved in their hearts as well. And they're all so excited for me now. So they wouldn't be so surprised now, but I remember that conversation when I told them, I was going to seminary after high school. They were, a bit stunned, I guess.
Are they going to be at the ordination?
A few of them will, actually. Nice. It'll be great. Yeah, with families and everything. So, I mean, that's just, you can't get any better than that, you know?
Nice. Very good. Deacon Eric.
Yeah, I also think back to friends in high school, and they might be surprised. They might not be. I think they kind of had some inklings of that. I remember, you know, one of my girlfriends in high school actually broke up with me because I was too religious for her.
Oh, okay.
I think, you know, coming down the road here, yeah, I am too religious for her.
As it happens.
Yeah, but the main one I actually think about is my own mother, actually. My mother died shortly after I was born. Mm. So I kind of wonder, you know, how much hand would she have had in my vocation over the years? I'm kind of curious how much hand she has had in my vocation the years from her side, you know, in heaven.
Yeah.
But I kind of wonder what her thoughts would be and kind of think about, you know, it's what her take would it have been. I've heard she was a religious woman. She was part of Bible studies and sort of things like that. So I wonder, would she have been surprised, excited, you know, nervous, you know, letting her son go, you know, in this direction. So just what her thoughts would have been if she was on this side of heaven, and just what her thoughts and reactions are on her side in heaven. I'll be curious to find that out.
Yeah, very much so. Well, Deacon Eric Ahmet, Deacon Colin Jones, thank you too for being on the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate
thank you, Patrick.
And all the best for Saturday. We're going to transition now to our other two transitional deacons. We're going to transition to the transitional deacons, to the other two who are going to be joining us, Deacon Peter Lee and Deacon Matthew Shireman, who'll be ordained, obviously, again this Saturday. Not ordained again. Well, ordained again, I guess, in the sense that you've already been ordained deacons. Deacon Peter Lee, let's see. What do I have on you? I've got some good stuff on you somewhere here. All right. You are, your current position is that, obviously, you're a transitional deacon, and you're at St. Charles Borromeo. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's your teaching parish, yeah? Okay, very good. You are number 8 of 9 children.
That's right.
Okay, and you like reading and watching comic book-related things.
I do.
Which are maybe a little bit easier to get through, perhaps, than, say, The Lord of the Rings or The Cimmerian or something like that.
It helps that there's pictures, and sometimes it helps when there's good artists that are drawing the pictures.
Very good, but probably a little less time for comic books these days.
Yeah, but I try to sneak it in there every now and then, but
okay. Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. All right. And Deacon Matthew Shireman, you've been working full-time as a deacon out at St. Stephen's in Anoka since this past June. And you were in public transportation and civil engineering.
That's right. Yeah, I was scheduling buses and trains in Cleveland, Ohio before I entered seminary.
Right. And so as you were saying before the program, so everybody always wonders who makes the buses and trains run on time. It's Deacon Matthew Shireman.
That's right.
Very good. Well, wonderful. All right. So some of the same questions and maybe a couple of different ones, too. Let's start with that one. Who has had a significant impact on your vocation? Deacon Peter?
Yeah. So it's not just one person. There's a group, actually. When I was at St. Vincent de Paul, just Father Joseph Johnson was our pastor there, and Father John Paul Erickson was helping, and then Father Andrew Cousins were all there, and so they had a strong impact on my life and in my vocation. It's not so much that I don't think they ever directly asked me if I had ever thought about being a priest, but just by their witness, like Deacon Eric said earlier, just having young priests in my life and seeing them giving their life joyfully and prayerfully to the community, the monk community, just really inspired me to grow my own faith. And then with that, them too, Sister Mary Joseph from the Missionary Sisters of St. Peter Claver was a huge part of my life at that time too. So just having a witness of those four people in my life during that time just really fostered the faith, so much so that when I did decide to come to seminary, it was, I'd reflect back and I was like, it's because they helped build that foundation for me.
Yeah, so very important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deacon Matthew, what about you?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my parents who brought me to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day growing up. Sometimes we were the only youth there, but my siblings and I. But I'd also like to mention Father Will Prospero, a Jesuit priest. He's now deceased. He was in campus ministry at Marquette, and he would always have the Friday Mass in the little St. Joan of Arc Chapel on campus, and then he'd go over to the dining hall and swipe in anybody who wanted to eat with him, and just got to see a real personable side of the priest and just how happy he was as a priest. And we weren't usually talking about anything religious, but just enjoying each other's company.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of, from what you both said, a lot of observation of other priests and the witness that they have given in your lives. And to make it, you know, to make it real, to make it that, you know, these are real men here who are here. These are not some sort of, you know, hovering 3 feet above the ground, that sort of thing, and have, you know, pray all through the night. There might be actually some comic book reading in there or some some scheduling buses and trains. Right. Okay. So, again, initial parts of the vocation, where were the first flickers of the flame of the call, Deacon Matthew?
Well, I think I really have to point to Marquette as well. So in addition to the joyful priest that I was meeting there, also having friends who were discerning calls to the priesthood and religious life, and then the idea, too, that every young Catholic man should at least consider it a little bit. So my discernment was gradual, but I joined a discernment group there at Marquette. It was a Jesuit discernment group. And so I was in that with friends as well, and then just slowly over time, the Lord showed his will for me, and
Yeah, it unfolded over time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an important point as well. Deacon Peter, how about you?
Yeah, I never discerned at all growing up. I mean, here and there.
You have now, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
At least. Okay, good.
In this later part of my life, yeah. growing up, I never thought about being a priest at all. I think there were times where religious sisters would throw it at me, but I just kind of brushed it off, and I never really did think about it at all. So it wasn't until right before I entered seminary that I actually spent a couple weeks thinking about it, just having a little revelation in my own life that I thought, oh, maybe God is calling me to that. So I jumped on it just because I'm like, well, I'll probably not think about it again. So, So I really never really thought about it growing up.
Wow. Right. But you seized the opportunity when it did come by.
Yeah.
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 All right. Okay. So what person living or passed away would be most surprised at your being ordained a priest? Deacon Peter, back to you.
Yeah, I'd say all my friends from grade school and high school.
Because you never discerned back then.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I wasn't religious at all or anything. I went to church regularly with my mom. But, you know, growing up, I went to public school most of my life. And so there's never talk about religion or anything, and so I never talked about it publicly, and praying in public was never a thing too, so I think a lot of my friends would be really surprised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any, by chance, any of them coming to the ordination?
I hope so. There's a couple that I still hang out with regularly, well, not as regularly as I want, but who are still close to me, and I haven't followed up with them if they were going to come, but I hope they do.
But you have, they've been invited.
Yes,
yeah,
for sure.
Excellent. Okay. How about Deacon Matthew? How about you?
I'm not sure exactly, but maybe my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Lovelace. I went to public schools throughout. And I think she was actually Jewish, but she called all of us tough cookies in fourth grade, and so I wouldn't be surprised if she was surprised that
right.
one of her tough cookies is now getting ordained a priest.
And he's going to be a tough cookie priest.
That's
another
right.
tough cookie. Okay, very nice, very nice. Well, a little bit different question now, and Deacon Matthew, we'll start with you. Other than, you know, well, I'll just leave it. I won't put words in your mouth. Who do you think is among the happiest for you at the occasion of your ordination?
I think my parents are certainly happy. My dad would be happy with whatever I do, but I think he's happy too that I'll be a priest. I think he also sees it as an answer to my grandparents' prayers that one of their children or grandchildren would be a priest. Yeah, so them. I think also the guys who were ordained last year, of one of whom you'll be interviewing shortly,
yes,
Father
that's right.
Nick Fraley.
Yep.
I think they're really happy to see me get ordained on Saturday.
Yeah, excellent. All right, Deacon Peter, how about you?
Yeah, besides those four religious I mentioned earlier,
yeah.
I think my mom and my oldest sister, yeah, and they... You know, up to this point, they are trying to plan so much for me. And there's a part of me that's, you know, excited and all for the ordination. But then there's part of me that's just really laid back. And so just when they're pushing me to get things done, it's like, I'll get it done when I get it done. Just that excitement in wanting to get things done for me so it's perfect for me shows how happy and excited they are that I've gotten to this point. And... Yeah, so I would say those two, my old sister, Gabriel, and my mom.
Nice. So. And you're already anticipating my next question to you, which is, what's it feel like? I mean, some of us who are married, you know, we might have some similar things about, you know, my life is about to change entirely, you know, right before we got married. Mm-hmm. What can you describe what it feels like to be this close to ordination, on the brink?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I was actually just talking about this sort of yesterday with a good friend of mine who just came into town. And we were comparing this almost with marriage, you know, just preparing for marriage. And we're like, yeah, the worst part about this was the invitations because it's a lot of work putting that stuff together. And so for married couples, that was probably nice because they at least had someone else to help them. And for us, it's like, oh, or maybe not. But yeah, but otherwise it was like, it's such a hassle. It just kind of collect names and addresses, making sure they're updated, things like that. And, but yeah.
We got ours. Just
yeah, no, it took a while. See, that's the other thing. Procrastination is one of my strong suits. And so, yeah, I'd say leading up to this, so it's exciting for sure. I think I'm more nervous for my first full day as a priest than I am for ordination. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of joy.
Yeah, very good. How about you, Deacon Matthew? What's it feel like?
Yeah, I think it's a... A mixed set of emotions, certainly excited, but also a little anxious in terms of being able to offer the Mass shortly, being the presider at Mass, hearing confessions. But this is all something that we've been preparing for many years, and so to actually see it brought to fulfillment and to begin our priestly ministry is wonderful.
Right. Wonderful. It is. Deacon Peter, you brought something up that I wanted to hit for all four of you, actually. So you two in the background, get ready to jump up to the mic. Can you just share where your masses of Thanksgiving are actually going to be?
Yeah, so it'll be at my home parish, the St. Vincent Paul campus of the Cathedral of St. Paul.
Which is there in Frogtown in
St.
Paul.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right there in Frogtown.
651 Virginia Street.
That's right.
Yeah,
you got it.
I know it. Yeah, that's right. Okay, very good. And what time?
It's 9 a.m. This Sunday, the 27th.
Okay, very good. Deacon Matthew, how about you?
Mine is at St. Therese in Deep Haven. That's my home parish. That's at 10 a.m. on Sunday.
Okay, very good. Deacon Eric.
Mine is going to be at St. Odelia in Shoreview, my home parish. That'll be at 9 o'clock in the morning.
All right, very good. And Deacon Colin.
Mine will also be at 10 a.m. at St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony on Sunday morning.
Very good. So if you are listening on Saturday and you miss the ordination, there you go. There's all the masses of Thanksgiving. You can go and see the first mass offered. Well, you're con-celebrating at the ordination, but first mass celebrated by each of our newly ordained priests. Gentlemen, it's been such a pleasure. Deacon Peter and Deacon Matthew, thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All the best on Saturday. We look forward to seeing you there. All right. We're going to go into our next break, and as we do so, we are going to come back and get some advice from a man who has now been a priest for nearly a year, and we'll find out more about that. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
I rely on your show daily. I want you to know I really appreciate it. Well, it helps me a lot.
Father Simon Says.
Have a question?
I know Catholics don't believe about the rapture, but what do we believe about the end times?
We believe in the parousia.
Father Simon Says.
What I like about your explanations is it gives me great reason to go back and listen to the podcast 3 or 4 times to really... really understand it because
it helps.
Concentrated, and I need
I talk fast. Yes,
it's wonderful stuff.
The Reverend Know It All, Father Richard Simon.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, good. Father.
What can I do for you?
God bless you, and you make me laugh all the time.
Holy. if you don't laugh, you cry.
Father Simon Says.
Enough with the kvetching.
Father Simon Says, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Talk to you tomorrow. I am off like a cheap toupee.
Today I can see. Oh, today I can see. My. For the very first time, I wave goodbye.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We are coming to you live. No, not live, but we are coming to you from the Golden Valley Studios of Relevant Radio, 1330 AM. Patrick Conley with you again, along with our producer, Susanna Parent, our technical producer, Paul Sonic, and we are sponsored by, brought to you by Catholic United Financial, Every Step, Every Journey. They are there for life. Joining me now here in the studio is Father Nicholas Fraley, who is currently the parochial vicar at St. Ambrose in Woodbury. You do have a trophy for being the youngest priest currently in ministry in the Archdiocese, but as we were talking before the program, that is quickly to be handed on.
It is, Patrick. I am going to be handing it off to now Deacon Colin Jones here in just about 24 hours at the clergy welcome dinner.
Nice. So this is part of the small tea tradition of the Catholic Church.
Indeed it is, yeah.
Okay, very good. Wow. Okay, so Deacon, soon-to-be Father Colin Jones will now be the possessor of that trophy.
He will be for one whole year.
Oh, wow. Okay, all right. Very good. I like that. All right, and how are things going at St. Ambrose?
They're going incredibly well. It's been just a wonderful year. I can't believe it's already been almost a full year that I've been at the parish.
Yeah.
Time really flies by.
I can imagine. All right. Well, we'll get into that a little bit more, but I wanted to reflect with you over the past year, particularly on nearly one year, since your own ordination. I remember the day. I remember it well. I'm guessing it's somewhere there in your memory.
It is.
Yeah. Very good. And what kind of things have popped out at you that maybe you didn't expect? Since the ordination, or what have you learned in this first year?
You know, I suppose more than anything, I've just been surprised time and time again by the Lord's graciousness and His great blessings. You know, each and every day has just been kind of a new adventure when you're trying to learn how a parish runs and all the different aspects of parish life. And the Lord keeps surprising me with even greater joy as I continue to get to know these families and continue to learn what it means to be a priest, because I'm still learning.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I would imagine that goes on for a little bit anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. What's it specifically like being a parochial vicar? So you're working with another priest. I mean, obviously that gives you an opportunity to learn some that way as well.
It does, yeah. So my pastor, Father Stan Mader, has been at the parish for just about 3 years now. And it's been nice because he has to take care of all the
the finances, all the really hard, heavy responsibilities. I could be the nice, you know, smiling parochial vicar who doesn't really have a care in the world. But it's been great getting to get his perspective on different pastoral situations, different aspects of parish life, and what it means to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
This is really kind of like field training for me. Mm-hmm. Full-time right now.
Right. I'm just curious, too, going to, because St. Ambrose is a pretty large parish, and I'm just wondering what it's like to walk into that as a newly ordained priest, and all these people, I'm sure they were very welcoming, but you have to, you now have the task of being the one of the shepherds of these people. What's that like?
It's very humbling. It's very intimidating. Even just the campus itself was massive, and trying to get to know just the physical layout, and then on top of it, you're trying to get to know the families, get to know their names, get to know their stories. And really, it wasn't until about Easter this year that you kind of feel like you get it.
Mm-hmm.
you feel like you belong all of a sudden, and you're not staring out into a sea of unfamiliar faces, but these are the people that you know and that you love and you care about, and you know their pains, you know their sorrows, you know their joys as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine that develops over time, but I imagine it's a really rich time as well. Have you been invited over for dinners and things like that?
I have, yep. That's been a great part of ministry, is getting to be with families one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You get to have a little bit more intentional conversation with them and get to know their stories a little bit more personally,
right,
rather than the maybe 30 seconds I have with them after each Mass.
Right, right. Thinking about sacraments, I mean, obviously, as a deacon, you get an opportunity to, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, to witness a wedding,
mm-hmm.
Maybe perform a baptism or 500. But now as a priest, I'm guessing these are not just Holy Mass and hearing confessions, but it's also baptisms, weddings, anointing of the sick, all these sorts of things. Have you learned a lot in just the practice of these various sacraments?
Yeah, I've learned to become much more comfortable with them. Insofar as, you know, I'm not needing to look ahead so often anymore. You know, I think my first funeral, I was flipping through that funeral rite book probably half a dozen times in the couple of days leading up to the funeral, just trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to have to do when, and how is this prayer going to go? And now things flow, I think, much more naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still moments where you kind of catch yourself and recognize just like the tremendous mystery that you're celebrating.
Right. Yeah. And then what about, I wanted to ask about preaching as well, because again, you had some experience as a deacon, but now I'm guessing you're up there in the pulpit pretty regularly. How's that going? I remember your massive Thanksgiving. It was brilliant. But although, were you preaching at that one?
I did preach at it.
I was thinking you did. Yeah.
I did.
Okay. It just struck me that maybe I'm misremembering it. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a completely different thing all of a sudden, going from having people preach to you on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
that now I'm the person preaching to others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, there's a growing with that as well. And learning how to prepare a daily Mass homily more quickly, and also just still giving the devotion and attention that each Sunday homily needs. And even recognizing, you know, a year out, just like how to reinvigorate your own preaching and recommit to devoting a good amount of time to it.
Yeah, yeah. Some reflection on the scriptures, some mm-hmm. thinking, listening to the Holy Spirit, what needs to be said. Right. Okay, so with that, then, what would you say some of the very biggest graces that you've experienced in your year at St. Ambrose? What are some of the biggest gifts that you've been given?
Three come to mind immediately.
Okay.
The first being a part of the school at St. Ambrose. We have just a wonderful Catholic school there with about 570 students, K-8. And the biggest joy I have every morning is getting to walk through the lunchroom or the hallways and getting to visit the classrooms and just visit with the kids and just be a part and a presence in their life, as well as to receive so much grace from knowing them.
Right.
The second would be being able to walk with a with a family through the RCIA process this year. We had a tremendous group that were coming into the church, among which was an entire family of, I think it was five children and the mom. And I had the privilege of working individually with two of the younger children, doing catechesis on a regular basis. And being present at the Easter Vigil then and being able to share in their joy and coming into the fullness of the faith was incredible, just awe-inspiring. And then finally, just being a part of our faith formation process in general has just been a great grace in my priesthood.
So I think it's great that you're getting some experience in a school, and I am glad it's such a joy to you, because as we already talked about with Deacon Eric and Deacon Colin, both mentioned how formative that's been to see, for them to see younger priests who come into their lives, and the children are able to make a good and positive connection with a priest and that sort of thing. I'm curious as about do you get to know the kids too? I mean, that's a lot of kids.
It is a lot of kids. And you get to know some better than others, of course.
Yeah.
In particular, you get to know the ones that, you know, I get to know the groups of kids I'm in the classroom on a regular basis with. I don't get to meet with all the grades. And then with like the middle schoolers, the ones who are involved with our youth groups, those are ones that I get to know, in addition to those who are being altar servers, get to know on a little bit different level.
Sure. Anything that you've been asked to do as a priest, as a parochial vicar, that you didn't quite expect? Is something kind of outside of your wheelhouse, shall we speak?
You know, the thing that comes to mind is it's not really related to parish life, but my 90-year-old grandfather is actually getting remarried in July.
Wow. Wow.
And that's something that, as a priest, I don't think you ever expect to do your grandfather's wedding. But I'm so thrilled for him and his fiancée. I'm excited to be going out to Colorado for that.
Yeah.
I was thrilled to be asked, but
that's amazing.
A little bit outside of left field. He'll be 90 when he gets married. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I think they need to make up a trophy for that.
Right.
You must be one of the very few who have done their grandfather's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. Wow. Okay. That's a good, that's a good answer. Yeah. Very good. So now comes the time to tap into all this wisdom that has been piled upon you in the last year. I'm just curious to know if you might have some words of wisdom to those four deacons with whom we just spoke, and as they're now just about to be ordained a priest.
Yeah, I'd say that it's best to just dive in with both feet into parish ministry, and just to love the people, get to know them, and just give it your all. Even in our short first a couple of assignments where we're not going to be there for 6-12 years, you can just gain so much from loving the people. And then also just make sure that you keep up that prayer life. Seminary is a great blessing in that it gives us such a regulated schedule, but parish life is very different. It's a lot more ups and downs, a lot more ebbs and flows, and it's going to be important to maintain that regular rhythm of life so that we can give of ourselves to our people.
Yeah, yeah. Must be nourished before you can help others, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just a question off the cuff. I'm just wondering if you have any words of advice to the laity who are in the parishes where these new priests will soon become parochial vicars, and how can we welcome them well, and what can we do for them and to help encourage them to do those things that you were just mentioning?
I'd say one thing, it's very practical. Continue to introduce yourselves. Continue to say your names to them, because it's going to take a long time for us to learn them all. And it just, you feel much more connected when you feel like you can say, hey, right. Joe, rather than, hey, you over there.
And we've got it easy because we can just say, hey, Father.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So I'd say that, pray for them, and, you know, just give them time to grow into their priesthood.
Right. Maybe not expect perfection right out of the out
exactly.
of the gun. Okay. All right. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. Very good. And then finally, just I'm curious as to the people who, other than myself, the people who attended your ordination, are they continuing to stay in touch? The people who are praying for you, and are they upholding you in your priesthood as well as on the brink of ordination a year ago?
They are. Of course, you lose some contact with people that you would see from your teaching parish or from the seminary, but it's incredible how often you'll run into them in that first year of priesthood in just the most random places. And it's always a great blessing to see them again.
Yeah.
And I'm always assured of their prayers, and I continue to pray for them as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know that you've been, you stopped in a couple times to say Mass at the cathedral as well as to hear some confessions as well. And it's a pleasure to run into you, Father, when you do that.
Likewise.
Yeah. Before we let you go, wondering if you might give an on-air blessing to us and all our listeners, please.
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine his light upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Thank you, Father Nicholas Fraley, parochial vicar at St. Ambrose in Woodbury. Thank you so much for being on Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, and we are headed into our final break. When we come back, we are going to have plenty of community events for you to be part of. Grow your relationship with Christ, so stay with us. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3% with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
You can borrow.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. And Paul Sadek is sitting across the desk, as
hey,
he always does.
Before we do anything else, yeah. If the guys are listening out in the other room, let me just say thank you for saying yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's such an important yes. And to follow to say yes to the Lord, whatever he has in store for you. And I think we got some opportunities to do just that, Paul.
Well, one is the Rural Life Celebration coming up 1:30 Sunday, June 24th, Goldview Farms in Waverly. Mass will be celebrated with Father Charles Lockerwitzer, followed by lunch and children's activities like barrel train rides, hay wagon rides, seeing farm animals. Bring your own lawn chairs. Some seating will be provided. In case of rain, the celebration will be held indoors at the farm.
Bring your own lawn chairs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I like it. That's a
if
B-Y-O-L-C.
You forget, some seating will be provided.
That's right. All right.
It might have grass growing on it.
Very good. Grandparents, you are invited to bring your grandchildren for a summer pilgrimage to the majestic Cathedral of St. Paul on Thursday, June 28th from 1 to 3 p.m. This special event takes place during the annual Fortnight for Freedom as we look forward to Independence Day. This pilgrimage to the cathedral will include the opportunity for your grandchildren to have an up-close view of the sanctuary, altar, and Archbishop's chair, a brief tutorial of the Mass by Father John Paul Erickson, and more. We will end the pilgrimage in Hayden Hall to enjoy cookies and lemonade. For more information and to register, visit rediscover-faith.org and click on Events.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, an encyclical written by Pope Paul VI to reaffirm the Orthodox teaching of the Catholic Church on married love, responsible parenthood, and the continued rejection of unnatural forms of birth control and abortion. In recognizing this anniversary, Bishop Andrew Cousins will be meeting with young adult groups throughout the Twin Cities to discuss Humanae Vitae and address questions, you're invited to the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis Thursday, June 28th. Q&A with Bishop Cousins will take place from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. in St. Teresa of Calcutta Hall, lower level of the Basilica. For more information, visit tcya.archsbm.org.
Such an important encyclical.
Amen.
Wow. Humanae Vitae. Not what people were expecting.
I read it a couple of times.
Yeah, it's worth, and if anybody's listening, it's short. You can get
through
it.
Yes,
it is. But it's captivating.
And people think it's just about birth control. That's only a small part of it.
Yeah, only a very small part.
It's about life.
Give it a look. That's right. Be transformed and transform the world. The Office of Evangelization is excited to announce the Missionary Discipleship Series coming this fall. This series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker and time for reflection, prayer, and Q&A with the speaker. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. There will be a series starting this October at St. Hubert in Chanhassen, and the location for the young adult series is coming soon.
And summer is upon us.
Oh, thank the good Lord. Summer is here.
I saw a notice from the Weather Service recently that said that with the quick change from winter to spring, some people may be more susceptible to be heat-related problems.
Oh, that's a good thing to know. Wow. Well, and speaking of which, we need to serve those, especially who are those without shelter and food. So join us next week on the Rediscover Hour for our Great Catholic Parish Show, where we feature Pax Christi's Serve Ministry. We're going to talk about how they reach out to those who are in need. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org. And at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.